Blog Talk Radio.
The night before the season starts. Eddie, how are you?
How are you?
Doing well. What did you call this again? New York Rangers Rocket Eve?
How are you?
You know what? You could do that through the whole show, and I'll just keep laughing at you. You know that. Exactly.
How you doing?
It's just like the plate spinning song. I'll laugh at that every time I hear it.
Yes, Rangers Rocket Eve 2010. I can't wait for Kool and the gang to take the stage. It's going to be great. How are you?
We got Stan Fischler on the scene in Times Square. We were going to try and drop Stan at midnight and count down, but he wouldn't do it. He was afraid he wouldn't make it to the bottom. But good evening to all of you.
How are you?
Sorry. I did not go to Hartford. You know, we never had a bit we couldn't drive into the ground, I don't think.
That's right.
Are you ready?
More or less. I am ready. I'm disappointed that I'm not going to be able to see either of these games live. I'm going to be out of town. I doubt very much that where we're meeting up with all the Giant fans tomorrow night. I doubt very highly that in Houston they're going to have NHL center ice at the place we're going to be. So I don't think I'm going to get to see the game tomorrow night. Monday, when the game is on, I'll be in the air on my way back. So I'm going to have to watch both of these games on TiVo Monday afternoon. But it's okay because I'll come home Monday. My wife will be at work. My daughter will be at daycare. I'll have the house to myself. And, of course, what am I going to do? I'm going to watch hockey. So, time was that meant you watch porn. Now you watch hockey. It's not unforgivable, Mandar. Sorry. It's not unforgivable. I need a mancation.
Game
and
one and two.
I'm going on
How
one. That's right.
You?
How are you? We got a full chat room already. Everybody's here. We've got Rocket Eve.
I love them.
Will Dick Clark be calling in? I don't know. We're going to bring Dick out right before.
4, 9, 7, 28. Bingo. No Dick Clark tonight. How are you, everybody? How are you?
No Dick Clark, no Ryan Seacrest, just Leslie Uggams in Times Square. Barry Manilow will be on after midnight.
I know. It's going to be great. Leslie Uggams, you were upset. What did Leslie Uggams do?
I don't know, but you always, when you did the Ranger Crisis show, you always said, we're getting a score update from Leslie Uggams. So I just rolled with it. I figured we put her on the payroll of this show when we merged.
Oh, that's right. All I could say is, how are you? How are you? How are you today? How are you?
Now it's catching on in the chat room. City Hockey Fever is asking you to continue to do it.
Oh, don't encourage me. I got to tell you, come on, let's get psyched. It's finally here tomorrow. This is the Rockin' Eve. I mean, I watched some of the games so far. I got so psyched. I can't wait for the Rangers to take the ice. And I'm so psyched. I know it's ridiculous, but this is a big part of my life, this Ranger nonsense.
And it's opening night. It's always exciting. And look, we've got reason to be excited. Well, encouraged. Maybe instead of excited, encouraged. I don't know. We saw some good signs in preseason. We have reason to believe that finally this team has an eye on the future, right? I mean, how many times can we say that? How many times can you really, honestly, in your Ranger fandom, how many times could you go into a season, look at the team, and say, well, they've got an eye on the future? You know? So, I mean, there's reason to be encouraged, I think. Hey, look.
Yeah.
You know, it's not a cut team.
You can be a little encouraged. I mean, I'm not going overboard, but you're right. There's a lot of youth. They keep adding one or two guys each year that's young. How are you? I mean, it's good. It's all good right now before the season starts.
Let's talk a little bit, since they're talking about it in the chat room. We'll talk about that at the top. You're going to the game on Monday, right? With a cast of thousands.
Yeah. Too bad you're going to be away.
I'll be on my own on my own road trip.
Yeah, but I'm gonna get some tape and get some video of. People talking about Blue Shirt Banner Radio. Maybe we can get some IDs and stuff like that. Like, hi, my name is Leroy, and I love Blue Shirt Banner Radio.
Hi, this is John Tavares, and you're listening to the best New York Rangers show on the internet, Blue Shirt Banner Radio.
Right. So it's going to be fun. I know we've got at least 20 people coming down from other boards. People told me they're going to come up and... maybe I'll bring some Blue Shirt Banner Radio sign down there so everybody can identify. I think we'll be easily identifiable. We'll be loud, drunk. Well, I won't be drunk, but loud, intoxicated, and irreverent. How are you?
I know the Eva's going, right, and her clan. Who else is going? Is Newman going?
John Newman will be there. Mike Zippo. The coordinator of the Fire Say the Rally will be there?
No, Blue Shirt Banner coordinated that rally. It was in all the papers. Come on, did you read the press release? No, you didn't, because we don't get them anymore. since we know they're in the chat room, we might as well say good evening to the New York Rangers organization. We appreciate you guys listening in. Really quick, did you see... Larry Brooks did his season preview in the New York Post and did like a paragraph or two all about the – which he and used the term the kinder, gentler Tortorella. Where have we heard that before?
Did he really say that?
Swear to God. You're welcome, Larry. We love you. Call in anytime, buddy. So good evening to Larry Brooks, who is apparently either listening live or will be listening tomorrow on his iPod. Although I can't picture Larry with an iPod.
Yeah, I don't know what he's got. But that's interesting. I didn't know that. Now, I was talking to you about before the show about Derek Stepan and his interview on NHL Live today. Anybody catch that one? Well, I'm going to say something. Basically, I have a microphone and free reign to say anything I want at this point. How are you? Stepan was on. Confident young man. Very outspoken. Very amiable, personable, talking about how he's living out of a hotel and he's not really used to New York yet, because where he's from, all they have is cornfields and Walmarts. Oh, I thought that was kind of funny. And he's really got a good, just a great personality about him. So hopefully the Rangers organization won't squelch that.
So, give it time.
Give it time. Once the season begins, it'll be an Operation Clampdown on everybody. And that,
yeah, no signings after March 1st either. Well, the couple of times I've seen him interviewed on MSG and during the preseason, he seems like he's got a good demeanor, and I can't help but notice there's kind of a buzz starting to build about him. You know, you're starting to hear his name. You know, the quote unquote experts are mentioning his name. Bob McKenzie yesterday on TSN, he listed 10 rookies that could be. He called them low-profile rookies that make a lot of noise this year. And even though he said they're in no particular order, I'm going to throw that out the window because Derek Stepan was first on his list.
That's the first
one he mentioned.
Low-profile Calder candidates.
Right.
Of the year.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, he's just a smart guy, like a smart player. They throw that term around, hockey IQ, a lot nowadays, and he certainly has above-average hockey IQ for his age, and 20 years old. So, 20 years old, man. I don't think I had any IQ at 20, no less a hockey IQ. I had a hockey walking IQ.
Hockey IQ is not a term that is often used to talk about this show.
Right. Yes. How are you?
All right.
Every time I say how are you, somebody loses an IQ point somewhere in the world.
So
what's going on?
Where do you want to start? You want to go over the opening night lines and talk about them, or where do you want to start? We got an Islanders story we want to make fun of. We got the roster breakdown. We got our predictions. Where do you want to start?
Let's start with the Islanders.
We're going to start right in. No warming up in the bullpen. No nothing. We're going to start right in with them. All right.
You're coming in, and what's his name? What's the guy? Danny McBride plays that guy.
Kenny motherfucking Powers?
Yeah. You're going to come in right like Kenny Powers, and then you come in, and it's just – throw that fastball. Because this Islanders story is not beyond, but it's preposterous.
Well, now, I read this. I first read this yesterday. It was a link. It was a story put up by Chris Botta, and I think just about everybody knows who he is. He's the former PR man of the Islanders who was summarily dismissed and now continues to blog about them. But he's still something of an insider with the team. I think he is one of their bloggers is credentialed with the team. I don't know if he's there every game. I don't know. Anyway, but he's an inside guy when it comes to the Islanders, former PR guy. And he runs Islanders Point Blank, and like I said, he formerly worked with the Islanders. And he first broke the news yesterday. And when I heard it, I have to call Eddie and tell him about it, and then we talked about it. And then there was another story today about it in the New York Times. And for those of you that haven't heard, I'll read you the Times article here. Radio and television broadcasts are the lifeblood of any sports team, a way to reach fans who cannot get to the stadium or arena. Yet just days away from before the start of the NHL season, the Islanders may be forming one of the odder media partnerships in professional sports. According to the blog IslandersPointBlank.com, the Islanders are close to a deal that would give WRHU-FM 88.7, a radio station at Hofstra University in Hempstead, New York, the rights to broadcast the team's games. For the past 2 years, Islander games were carried by the Long Island Radio Group, which broadcasts night games on 94.3 FM and day games on 1100 AM, which are primarily music stations. Last season, the Islanders simulcast their television broadcasts over the radio. that was because they fired their radio team. And didn't they do that, if I'm not mistaken, like a week or two before the season started?
Yeah, like right before, after the draft.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, right before the season.
Okay. And then, now, here's where it gets better.
Well, let me just say it. Also, fired Billy Jaffe from the TV side because he wasn't enthusiastic enough. So they got Skeletor, Butch Goring now doing the color over there. All right, go.
Billy Jaffe wouldn't be rah-rah about the worst team in hockey, or next to worst team in hockey. The agreement with WRHU would give the Islanders a chance to save money because Hofstra students would serve as intermission hosts, sideline reporters, and perhaps color commentators. They would also handle some of the engineering and production, the blog said. It is unclear how closely the students will work with Chris King, the Islanders' main radio broadcaster. WRHU is a 470-watt station. Aren't hair dryers like 200 watts? By the way, that was not the New York Times article. That's an ad lib on my part. By contrast, Ranger games are broadcast on 1050 ESPN radio, a 50,000-watt station. Devil games are carried on WFAN, another all-sports radio network, and if I'm not mistaken, WFAN also broadcasts at 50,000 watts. Now, on a clear night, and if you guys, I'm sure most of you are familiar with AM radio signals, on a clear night, you could pick up WFAN in South Florida, because I've done it. I've listened to Met games on 660 in Florida. 50,000 watts. 470-watt station. If the game's in Uniondale, what's Farmingdale? You're going to be lucky to hear them in Farmingdale, right?
Yeah. and out here on the island, like, WFAN doesn't even come in clear. Not WFAN. ESPN radio, it's ridiculous. It's static. You can't even listen to it. So, it's a dopey, third-rate thing again.
And
never end.
You know, of course, the Islanders are trying to sell this. You know, they're trying to spin this and sell it as, you know, they're doing something in the community. They're working with the college. They're giving guys a chance, blah, 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 blah. And I'm sorry, that's all BS. You are a professional sports team. Regardless, insert your own joke here, but that's what they are. They are in a professional sports league. They are a professional sports franchise in the media capital of the world. You cannot give your radio broadcast to a 470-watt college station. Dylan McElrath's team up in Moose Jaw could probably be heard by more people than the Islanders will be heard by this year. That is, somebody from the NHL has got to step in with this franchise and just take the ownership away, move them, do whatever you got. I mean, this is ridiculous. This is a joke. I mean, this is preposterous. We get more listeners on this show than the Islanders will get for a radio broadcast because we can reach more people. Why don't they just put their games on the internet? Put them on Block Talk Radio. They'll reach more people.
Yeah, they might as well call them from watching the TV. Have a guy call the game. I mean, it's a disgrace. I mean, you know, it's all fun and games, and it really is funny that this franchise that just – it's just so Long Island. Long Island has always been the redheaded stepchild of New York City, and justfully so, because they just don't do anything with any kind of class. You get a couple guys, maybe between deliveries over there and Papa John's on Hempstead Turnpike, you get them to do a radio show. Do you know how cheap it is to do radio? I'm not even talking Block Talk Radio.
$39 a month.
I've done college radio. I mean, to set up a radio, all you need is a telephone line and two headsets and a transmitter. That's all you need. And they can't get somebody for free to do that job? They can't have these... Why wouldn't a station broadcast the odds? Is there no advertising because they get such low listenership?
You and I should do it. You and I should do a show during an Islander game, and we'll do the announcing.
Oh,
we'll do it right here on Block Talk Radio.
Now?
That'd be great. It'll be like Mystery Science Theater 3K or whatever that show is called.
Mandar has already gone on record saying that the Islanders will not reach double-digit wins. And he might be right.
Well, I don't know. How many games they play against the Rangers?
What, six? Seven? I don't know what they play nowadays. Since they killed the rivalries. But you know what? And you know, I wrote this in the piece on about the show on Blue Shirt Banner, which I'm sorry had your signature on there. You know, I don't want you to get in trouble, but they made that ball Butch Goring stick to his prediction that the Islanders were going to make the playoffs after all the injuries. It's ridiculous.
He
can't just say, you know, with the injuries, I got to predict the Islanders out of the playoffs. Maybe next year, guys. No. He's got to sit there on that, those talking baldies on that hockey night dead where four out of five of them are corpses. They're sitting there like the crypt keepers. And they're sitting there making predictions. And I got to say, Duke is the only one with a half a brain on that panel. Danico knows his stuff, but the devil bias has got to stop. They made poor Butch Goring take one for the team.
Yeah.
And think they're going to make the playoffs. It's ridiculous. So the Islanders are just, they got a lot of problems. The self-esteem of the Rangers, the Islander fan, cannot be good.
No, it can't be. Well, we had Dominic on the other night, and, he sounded defeated, and the season hasn't even started yet. So,
yeah.
All right. Well, enough about them. Before everybody in chat room, I thought this was a Rangers show. We got the full slate of phone calls. Hold on. I'll put one phone call on here real quick because I know he's calling from, he's on the scene live from Buffalo, New York. Zach, what's going on?
Hey, Jim. Hey, Eddie. How's it going?
Where are you?
Are
you at the Anchor Bar?
I am at Tony's Sports Bar in Amherst, New York, just outside of Buffalo. They got the Sabre game on all over the place. Don't forget, they got the Sabre game on all over the place. Got a lot of Sabre fans. Everybody's all cheering and oohs and ahs. It's 1-0 Buffalo over the Senators after the first period.
Okay.
Who got the goal?
Derek Roy.
He had a good preseason, Derek Roy. He's having a good start to this season. You better do nothing over there. Are they aware that you were a Ranger fan at this sports bar?
One person is now aware. He originally thought I was a Sabre fan because I was talking hockey with him. Saw him and his son wearing a Sabres jersey. So saying, go to the game. And they asked me a question. I don't remember what it was, but I pretty much had to say, no, I'm from New York City, and I'm a Ranger fan.
Now, are you staying in a hotel up there? Are you staying with friends? Are you staying in a hostel? Are you camping out? What are you doing?
My brother goes to school at UP, and I'm actually with him right now. Calvin, say hi. Hi.
Hi.
That's my brother for you. he's got an apartment, and so I'm crashing in his room for a couple of nights.
Perfect.
So what's the age difference between you and Calvin?
What?
What's the age difference between you and your brother?
He's 20 and I'm 24, so it's 3 years, 10 months.
So he's not even legal drinking age yet. I'm sure you're fixing that for him.
Oh, of course I am.
So we don't condone underage drinking on this show.
Yeah. All right. Well, we just finished our dinner and it's starting to get a bit slow here, so we're just gonna head out. But
all right. Excuse me. Well, thanks for checking in. Enjoy the game tomorrow night, and we'll talk to you next week.
Definitely. I'm going to try. Me and Mike Zippo are going to meet up tomorrow. We'll go to the game. We'll grab some wings. We'll grab some beers, and it should be a great game.
Sounds good. Have fun. Talk to you later.
All right. Tell everybody to say hi, and I miss them, and
you just
left me out. You left me out. I'm going to the game on Monday.
I didn't know. All right. Zach's going to the game, too, on Monday. There you go. All right. We'll talk to you later. Bye. All right. That was Zach live on the scene in Buffalo. All right. One more call because he's been waiting on hold. Then we'll take a couple more calls in a few minutes. Newman, what's going on, buddy?
Is anybody on with the lights? Hello.
What's going on, Newman?
Is anybody alive out there tonight?
Yeah, we're alive. I couldn't hear a word you said. All you meant was...
Yeah, that's what I said, Jim. That's exactly what I said.
I thought we really did get Dick Clark on the phone.
No, it's
terrible.
He's all sight.
Hey, how's your groin? Playing three games in three nights. How's your groin tonight? You hold it up all right?
I'm hoping that I don't tweak it later on.
He got it massaged before the show. He's fine.
Well, I'm sure he did. He should have gone to the place I go to.
I'll bet. I'm guessing Miss Stacy Katz don't let you go to no massage parlors no more.
That was before I met the Miss Katz. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, I'm sure.
As I said to Eddie last night, I'm sure you heard this also, Jim. I don't know if anybody else did. I'm predicting the Rangers to be the fourth seed in the East with 98 points.
Fourth seed?
Fourth seed, which means they're going to be second in the Atlantic.
So who are they? Who's winning the Atlantic?
Hate to say it. It's going to be the New Jersey Devils.
So wait a minute.
I hate to say it.
You're telling me that the Flyers and the Penguins are going to finish 3-4 in that division?
Correct.
Good Lord. Wow. You got the good shit.
I don't. I'm drinking the Manischewitz for you, my friend.
That ain't Manischewitz, my friend. Manischewitz doesn't make you hallucinate.
If you drink the whole bottle, it does.
Well, I guess right before you black out. Well, I like your optimism. I'll give you that. I like your optimism. I like your moxie. I like your chutzpah.
I got big cojones, my friend. Big fucking cojones.
Oh!
Hey,
oh!
Hey, I'm surprised you didn't mention this before. Did you see who's going to be on the first line for the Islanders come this week?
Brian Trottier.
Well, besides that, P.A. Parento.
I did see that, but forgot to mention it. Well, look.
They may be a parental advisory.
Tune into WRHU and you'll hear him interviewed.
Yeah. How long do you give the Irish till they fire their officer freeze? Guys.
What was that?
How long do you give the Islanders till they fire the Hofstra kitties for a rude comment or whatnot?
They're getting them for nothing. I mean, I don't think they'll care. They're getting them for nothing. I mean, what's next after that? Farmingdale Community College?
Are they going to give them Carl Brush to say what they want on the air to interviews if they actually get them to do interviews?
I don't know. Sounds like it.
Well, we'll see how that goes.
I mean, I don't know. How do you give a team radio access and then make them your radio partner and then not give them access to the team?
Well, it is a college station also. They're not getting paid. They're not on the payroll of the Islanders. They can just say the hell with this and get them the hell out of there.
No. I'm sure they'll do better in Kansas City or Quebec.
Yeah, I hope not. But I hope so. That's another issue for another night, my friend.
That's right.
Ooh, with the my friend.
Yeah, that's right, Eddie. I like that ooh and ah. I like that. How are ya? How are ya?
Sorry, Jim, I'm putting you through this.
No, not at all.
I'm going through a phase again.
I don't mind it.
Eddie, are you learning how to walk and talk again? Is that your first two words? How are you?
How are you?
That and where's the steak? Mashed potatoes. Yeah. But I'm looking forward to seeing you, John, on Monday, and I hope you know, 98 points to me sounds like a lofty prediction for a team whose defense I have a lot of questions about. Now, listen, there was addition by subtraction with getting rid of Redden, but the Steve Eminger era as your seventh defenseman has started. So, and a lot of injuries. Rangers are starting off with a lot of injuries, but...
Well, so are the Islanders. They're missing also and Mark Streit for a couple months also, from understanding that correctly.
Let's not use the Islanders as the barometer of success.
Yeah, Gorman, you're telling us that the Rangers aren't even going to compete with the Islanders. We're going to be competing with the Penguins and the Devils and the Flyers all year.
Just the Devils. The Penguins aren't going to do shit all year.
Hey, ho!
Easy now.
Until proven otherwise, they're the class of the division. I hate to say it because I hate them, but they're the class of the division.
Okay, fine. You can say the class. What's the last three letters of class? That's what they are.
Ha, ha, ha. I get it.
Yeah, exactly.
All right.
All right, Gilman, anything else?
I will let you go, and I will see you on Monday, Eddie, with fish sticks in hand.
All right, my friend.
Cupcakes.
Take care of yourself and say hello to Miss Cat.
And say hi to your other wife also, my friend. Have a good night, fellas.
All right, Noomi, we'll talk to you later.
Keep me on hold.
Oh, shit. I hung up on him just as he said, keep me on hold. Sorry, Noomi.
Noomi?
Yeah.
Noomi.
Noomi. All right. So you want to hear the opening night lines?
These lines will last three cycles. All right. Yeah, okay. Give it to me.
All right. First line, Frolov, Christensen, Gabrick. Second line, Dubinsky on the wing, Anisimov in the middle, Callahan on the wing. And then Avery, Stepan, and Fedotenko. And then the meat line is Bugard, Boyle, and Brandon Prust. And then your defensive pairs are Mark Stahl and Dan Girardi, Delzato and Roosevelt, and Eminger and Gilroy. Although Tortorella then came, after that was put out today, Tortorella came back and said the D pairs may not be set yet.
All right. Where do we start? Well, why don't we start where I ended off on Wednesday's show?
Well, yeah, why don't you start with the fourth line, because that's probably the biggest
The fourth line annoys me.
Yeah.
And
two of your biggest bugaboos are on that line.
Yeah. All right. So, it's Boyle and Prust, and who else?
Boyle, Prust, and Boogie. Booger.
All right. The Boogeyman I have no problems with. He's going to put the fear of God into everybody. Nobody's going to fight him. And if they do, they're going to get killed. I'm already predicting that. As a matter of fact, Rodeo told us that it's a almost done deal that Colton Gillies, on the Islanders, will be fighting Bugard right off the bat on Monday. That's what he got. Heard the info on that from the agents. But let's start with the fourth line. You know I've not been a big Brian Boyle fan. I know he had a good camp. I guess he gets the position, you know, de facto, I guess. Tortorella's familiar with him. I know that goes a long way. The guy has to be better on the physical end, and he has to be. I'm not asking, you know, he's a big guy. Everybody expects him to bang him, but he's not going to do that. But he needs to forecheck hard. He needs to bang a little bit more, and he needs to score, which he did in the preseason. All right, I can live with him. Brandon Prust, guys, I know I got a little bugaboo about him, and I know a lot of Rangers, but it seemed like he had, if there was anybody assured a slot on the team, it was Brandon Prust. I mean, you might as well talk about Gabrick or Lundqvist. He was on the team. I don't know how they evaluated him in preseason. Again, I like to see a younger guy in there like Dale Weiss, but I've also got a Dale Weiss bias I really like, and I want to see younger guys in there. But I can deal with that fourth line, I guess. I mean, what's your take on that?
I like Brandon Prust. I think I like him a little more than you do. But, I mean, you're right. It was kind of I'm going to go all fate accompli that he was going to make this team. There didn't even seem to be any competition for the spot for him. So I think he's a nice player, a role guy. And, you know, if he plays as well as he did after he came over to the Rangers, then he's a good guy to have on the fourth line. Echoing your sentiments on Boyle, we need to see him be more physical. It completely befuddles me how somebody could be that big and not physical. You know, it's kind of like in baseball when you see a big pitcher who's a finesse guy, you know. So he's got to play more physical, and hopefully maybe that'll lead to more goals. That would be because they need to see a little more scoring out of him. I mean, they don't need, you know, I don't expect 15, 20 out of him, but he's got to get to 10 at least. Didn't he say that last year or somebody said Brian Boyle's going to score 10, I'm going to score 10 goals or something, or that's my goal to score 10? Isn't that what Boyle said last season?
No. He didn't even get his own expectations last year. I mean, we'll see. I mean, is that a fourth line that's going to, I don't know. I don't think it's going to strike the fear into any of the hearts of the opponents, but it's the fourth line. Okay.
Right. Now, these middle two lines, these are the lines that these are the lines I always look at. These are like usually my favorite lines to watch because these are usually where you want to see your overachievers. And I'm anxious to see, you know, Avery and Stepan play together. And I really want to see if Dubinsky and Anisimov and Callahan can develop some chemistry, you know, in two or three games or else they'll get juggled. But I think that, and it's nice to see Anisimov is going to play on the second line, and I really hope it lasts. I think he should be on the first line, but that's besides the point.
Yeah, you know, we were talking about that. I was thinking about you watching the Edmonton game, right? Now, I know Edmonton, you know, I was going to say that Edmonton is a worse team than the Rangers, but guess what? When teams are non-playoff teams, they're all in the same heat from last year. So I'm not even going to go there. They managed to start three rookies on their first line. You got that one kid there, I can't pronounce his name yet, but Jordan Eberle and Taylor Hall and Ricky Ticky Tavi, whatever his name is over there. They're starting three guys on the first line, all playing together. But the Rangers, they can't even put a guy who's been in 3 years in the league, or 2 years in the league, one and a half, on the first line. So I was just thinking about that. And
it's the 12-step program.
Jimmy, I don't know if you caught that Eberle goal last night, but it's an all-timer, one of the best goals I've ever seen. It really is. You got to check it out. It's probably on YouTube, but it was sick. It was a sick, sick goal. All right, now get back to the third line again.
So you got third line is Avery, Stepan, and Ruslan Fedotenko.
All right. I like that line. I think Fedotenko and Avery are workers. Stepan, I think it's a good line for him to start with. I think those guys will get the puck. And, you know, some of them I think that's a good line. It would be a great fourth line. But in Rangerville, we have to do what we do here. So,
hey, at least the rookie's going to get third line minutes, at least for tomorrow night, at least for the first period.
Yeah.
Subject to change.
And, you know, Avery had a good preseason. He looks like he's back, and he's ready to play his proverbial heart out and give it his all. And so, okay. Third line gets, all right. You know, if that were a fourth line, I'd really be happy. But they're third line. So, okay. I'm all right on that. And really, it depends on Fedotenko. We talked to that Pittsburgh blogger the other day, and I hope they're not. Did you get any mail from those guys saying, hey, that mouth is a little bit crazy, or that guy's a real idiot, or whatever?
As a matter of fact, I did.
Oh, really? Bad. What'd they say?
Just that your partner's a little crazy or something to that effect. I'm like, yeah, he's a character. You know, it's what makes the show good. Look, you know, if you're a Penguins fan, you're gonna have to deal with the whole Crosby thing until he changes his attitude. You know, but. Yeah, you know, and I didn't want to get into the whole thing. I didn't want to make it a whole big thing. Lemieux was the same way, and that's he was the same way. So,
exactly. How soon they forget that Pittsburgh blogger? Was he getting all over Avery? It's like, don't they have Matt Cook, Mr. Headshot?
Yeah, he was. No, it was more the Islander. It was more Dominic was kind of on Avery more than. You know, more critical of Avery than the other guys were. Well, whatever. You know what made me kind of cheese me, like, the more I thought about it, and still, like, the more I think about it, the more it kind of pisses me off, was Travis, the Flyers guy, saying, I don't care about the Rangers. They're no threat to us. And I'm thinking, because they had this magical cup run, they completely forgot how bad they were and how they had to. Oh, you know, all because of a horrible coaching decision in that shootout, and it might have been, they might have been looking from the outside in, and then all I could think about was Robert De Niro in that movie with Wesley Snipes, The Fan. Hey, now do you care?
Yeah.
Just another reason to root for the Flyers to fall flat on their face.
Well, he probably didn't know the rest of the teams in the division when I asked him how do you predict the division, so he just said, oh, I just worry about the Flyers.
Well, no, that was the Penguins guy. Penguins are going to win the division, and that's it.
Ah, so that's the Penguins guy, then.
Yeah.
The know-nothing. All right. How are you? All right, so we got through the third line. Boy, this is it. This team's going to get 98 points with that fourth and third line? All right, I'm with you. Okay, let's get to the second line.
The second line. Dubinsky... Anisimov, Callahan. Wait.
Well, yeah, I like that line. But you got Brandon Do Nothing, the Audi Party,
there it is,
and the Rochester Rocky.
The first Brandon Do Nothing reference of the new season.
Let's see. Those guys got to have a good season. They've got to improve. I'm not going off the... I'm not going mental patient status like Fischler and predicting 30 goals for those guys. But they've got to up their goal production, and Artie's got to step up. But those two guys, really, it's their second and third year in the league. I think Callahan's 1 year ahead of Dubinsky. These guys need to really, Callahan brings a lot to the table. He's a penalty killer. He hits. He's a warrior. We've said it 1,000 times. But Brandon Dubinsky has got to grow up. I already get the feeling that Stepan is so much more mature than Dubinsky is, as far as his attitude goes, and just his overall maturity. And I want to see Brandon succeed. I call him Brandon Do Nothing because sometimes he goes into these streaks, but Callahan is just as streaky. And Dubinsky actually had, 20 goals last year in 60-odd games or whatever, because of the injury. So, they've got to step it up.
Refresh my memory. Obvious line-juggling jokes aside, Callahan spent most of the season last year on the third line, correct, with Drury?
Yes.
Am I remembering that correctly? hopefully bumping him up to the second line. I mean, I'm thinking, and I said on Blue Shirt Banner the other day that I think Ryan Callahan's going to score 30 goals this year, but that's just my, that's just one of my off-the-wall meaningless predictions for the season. But I think they need to get 25, you've got Dubinsky, Callahan on the wings. I think they need to get 25 out of each of them, and I don't think that's unrealistic.
No, I mean, I want to see it, and I think, you know, you got. And
what about
you got? That's a lot of grit. That line, it's a lot of emotion. Dubinsky again. His problem is, I think there are certain teams he elevates his game against, and this just goes for the same as Avery. You know, they're playing the Flyers, they're playing Sydney, they're playing the Devils, the Islanders. I see these guys really take it up a notch. And, here comes Nashville, we're all asleep. You know, here comes, Edmonton, we're all asleep. Here comes Phoenix. How are you? You know, I mean, it's...
How are you?
You did pretty good there. thanks to LFA thinking. Now you sound like I'm a judge.
Who's high pitch?
So the second line is, it's got potential. It's got potential. So I'm looking forward to that.
Let me ask you a question. In talking about the second line, I talked about what I think is reasonable expectation for Dubinsky and Callahan. What do you think is reasonable for Anisimov? What did he have last year? 10, 12 goals?
Yeah, I'm looking. I would consider if he gets second line minutes, I got to put him at 15. I got to put him at like 12 to 15. I'll say, wow. But he needs to really, with those two guys, he really should be getting more assists as well, which is, frankly, the part of his game I think that needs the most shoring up is skills and vision.
He had 12 goals last year. If he's going to get second line minutes consistently, and obviously, all of these calculations that we're making, and are based on the lines being consistent, which is a stretch. But if he had 12 last year, I don't think it's unreasonable to expect between 15 and 20 out of him next year, this year, and if you get 25 out of the wings, that's 50, and then another 15 to 20 out of the center, that's 70 goals from that line. They'd be in pretty good shape, at least on the second line.
Right. I mean, I don't know what position he's going to take. Is he going to be more of a setup guy? It's kind of weird on that line. They're all kind of, the kind of guys that kind of take matters into their own hands when they score. Or, in front of the net type of guys. I don't think we could really say, Doobie occasionally does it, but there's not three guys you're going to see that can, have breakaways or have breakaway speed, although Anisimov has done it a couple times. And it should be good because I think there'll be a very hard-working line, and I think that's something you really need at your second line. I think those guys are tenacious.
They're getting on me in the chat room saying that we're not going to get 25 goals out of Ryan Callahan. Why not?
He had 19 last year, didn't he?
He had 22 2 years ago. Why not? Tell me why 25 is such an unachievable number. Right?
I don't know.
I'm not asking him to score 50. I'm just asking him to score three more than he scored 2 years ago. I don't think it's that unrealistic.
Do you want me to jump the boards? Because I will.
Mandar says because he's a bum.
Oh, all right. Well, Mandar's, sort out answer.
Mandar's penciling Higgins in for 20 goals.
He's been invisible in the preseason, Higgins.
Leeson, too.
Speaking of which, Our old friend Aless Kotalik got put on IR by Calgary.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that guy is in IKL.
All right. So before we get to the first, before we talk about the first line, I mean, how much can we really say about it? You want to take a couple of calls? We've got some people that have been on hold for quite a while.
Sure. Let's go ahead. I love them. Love the
players. All right. By the way, are you feeling better?
Yeah, I'm feeling a little bit better. My stool is now hard. I was having the green apple splatters the last couple of days, but now everything is kosher.
That is fantastic. 347-894, you're on Blue Shirt Banner Radio. Who's this?
What's up, boys? It's Rock. How you doing?
Hey, Rock. How are you?
How are you?
That's good.
How are you?
I love it.
Hello.
I like your assessments of the lines. I think you guys are pretty much on the money so far. I mean, those three guys on that second line, they have to have a decent year if they want to hit a home run as far as the contracts are concerned. They're all up for new contracts for next season. So we know that they need to put up some numbers because you know how Seattle likes to nickel and dime the young guys. So,
now, Rock, are you under the weather this evening?
No, why?
Oh, you're a little mellow than you usually are. Your voice has a little hoarseness to it, like you're not feeling well or something.
Yeah, I think I'm starting to get a cold, but I guess that's the time of year, I guess.
Doctors?
Yes. General Hospital. WebMD Radio right here. Well, look, we're concerned. We can't afford to lose any listeners. I got to make sure he's healthy. He's listed as day-to-day. All right. Well, let me ask you.
I appreciate it.
My pleasure. Is it unreasonable to expect Ryan Callahan to score 25 goals?
No, I think this has to be his breakout year. I said it to you over the summer. I think there's a lot of guys pushing for spots now. I mean, obviously we got, especially on defense, and that's another story, but you were saying about Callahan. I think that he's, like I said, he's in a contract year, and I think that we got to see what kind of player he is. Is he a grinder? Is he a third line guy? You know, I hope Tortorella gives him some second line minutes and stays consistent with that, to kind of see, you know, what this guy really has. I mean, we see glimpses. We see, you know, I saw a goal last year after the Olympics. He scored in Ottawa. It was beautiful. But you know, then again, most of these guys they have great starts, they fade, and then they find their legs again. You know, later on in the season, and I think the biggest thing is consistency. And I know that's what they've been talking about to start the season, is just to stay consistent and not have that lull. And every year it's the same thing. They get out of the gate like madmen every year, and then December, January, it's like they can't win a game. They can't even get to overtime.
Right.
So I think more than anything else, it's really going to depend on consistency. But like I said, I mean, these three guys, if they want a big payday, they're going to have to put up this year. And I think of the three of them, I think Davinsky has the most raw talent. I mean, you could just see it. He's a great skater. He hits. He can play the center. He can play wings. So he's very versatile. The thing with him is getting shots to hit the net. He gets to the net, but he just can't see. He doesn't seem to be able to hold on to the puck long enough to get a shot off. He'll get past one guy with a great move. He'll get past the second guy. And it's like he doesn't have enough to get the shot off or get to the net. So I think with him, it's just about getting pucks on the net and, you know, keeping his shot. I know he was working on his shot all summer, but just trying to get his shot on net, I think that's his biggest problem. But, yeah, like you said, that these three guys, they're really this is their season. So I'm hoping with three young guys, hungry guys, and you see the competition – you know, a guy like Tim Kennedy, I thought he had a fantastic preseason. And they put this guy on waivers, and I am absolutely shocked that he was not picked up. I mean, I don't know how you guys feel about him. I thought he had a fantastic preseason. I thought he didn't score. But, I mean, since when is scoring in the preseason dictate whether you make a team or not? I mean, so Brian Boyle had two goals. So if he doesn't score a goal, you know, the first 2 weeks of the season – you know, he's won a job based on his preseason? I sometimes think the preseason is a little skewed because you're playing against guys that are going to be bagging groceries in 2 weeks.
Excuse me.
So, I mean, I don't know how you guys felt about Kennedy and his play. I know we jumped around a little bit. I just thought that he had a pretty decent preseason. I think they, you know, I'm just shocked that he was put on waivers to begin with.
Error, I was caught in a numbers game.
And I lost out to that 6'7", no-talent Brian Boyle who can't hit. I'm multi-positional.
I was on PT-109.
PT-109.
I appointed my brother Attorney General. And they waived me anyway. Look, you're talking about Callahan. And, I mean, he was a... This is going to come out funny, I know it, but... Guy put up incredible numbers until he came to the Rangers. I mean, his numbers in the OHL and even in Hartford, his 1 year in Hartford.
He's a 45-goal scorer.
He scored
in the OHL.
52 goals for Emil Francis's Guelph Storm in 2005-06. So the guy's got goal-scoring capability. But, you know, hopefully, look, it's all going to come down to if he's going to get the second-line minutes. It's all going to come down to him getting the second-line minutes. Yeah.
So if he plays the guy that's going to get him the puck, he might actually do better instead of playing a guy with Drury, who I don't know what he does well. Like, we've had a million discussions about. He doesn't pass the puck well, and he's basically a center that shoots the puck, which, you know, they're not – I mean, other than Eric Lindros, most centers, they're supposed to be dishing the puck off to their – you know, they're more of a playmaker than a goal scorer. So,
this is another thing.
I
just want to say, you're right, and I think the Rangers, one of their biggest problems is that they rely so much on the defenseman to make that first pass, that good pass to set up. They don't have that center iceman that can take the puck at the red line and basically create. And that's when they run into a lot of problems. Once again, the off season, I'll say it again, they did not address Eric Christensen. Come on. We've seen this movie a couple times. I mean, it's getting to be a joke. Go ahead.
I'm sorry to interrupt you. We'll see what Christensen. I mean, I think he had a pretty decent second half of the last season. You know, he has a great pair of hands. I mean, I watched that goal, that shootout goal against Ottawa, and I rewound back like 3 and 4 times the way he was able to just take the puck and toe drag it and get it around Elliott's stick. I mean, he did it so fast. I had to watch it 3 times. I couldn't believe how fast his hands are. His problem, I think, is a little bit is more of an emotion thing, is getting him fired up because he seems very mellow, very subdued. But you can't question the guy's talent. I mean, it's there. You know, you wonder if he has the head to play in the game. That's really the only concern. It took him basically being discarded by 3 franchises to say, hey, you know what, maybe I should wake up and start playing and start, you know, earning a paycheck here instead of just kind of going day by day and living on the coattails of Sidney Crosby. Because, I mean, that's really what he did in Pittsburgh. And that's what he put up decent numbers. So,
well,
he said
this is his last. This might be his last NHL paycheck, right? Isn't that what he said when he came to the Rangers?
Yeah. And then he doesn't take the Rangers' first offer. He goes back.
That
free agent mark,
off a lot of fans when he held out for like $100,000 more, I think. And people turned on him pretty quickly in the Ranger lexicon of fans. But then when he signed, everything was copacetic. But that, I don't know. You tell other people from other teams that are playoff contenders that your number one center is Eric Christensen, and there's a lot of people.
There's a lot of teams without big centers, and it's mostly the teams that aren't doing well. And, yeah, I mean, I know Toronto's not really the greatest example in the world. They have Phil Kessel. They have a great defensive core, but they have nobody down the middle.
Toronto's a team that, you know, they were really bad last year.
Yeah, I don't know.
You're talking like the Rangers. If you watch the, you know, teams that didn't make the playoffs that are comparable to the Rangers, like the Wild, was like Mikko Koivu. We don't have a Mikko Koivu on this team.
You're right.
You know,
they have one big guy, and I really think that if Brad Richards doesn't hit the open market, I think they're in trouble again. Because from what I gathered from Tortorella, from what he said in that preseason interview about the centers, he said, well, maybe we'll address it by training camp, maybe we'll address it by the trade deadline, if not maybe in the offseason. Well, there's only one big center that I'm aware of that's available next offseason, and that's Brad Richards. So I don't know if – I don't want to put words in his mouth, but I don't know. Maybe he knows something we don't know. Maybe Brad spoke to him and said maybe he thinks he's coming, because I think he's the perfect guy to fit into this organization. He's a leader. He's won a cup. And he's a hell of a hockey player, and he's not that old. I mean, he'll be 31 next year. So
what is the Rangers cap situation at this point?
The way I looked at it, now Redden's hit comes back on the cap. Redden's hit comes back on the cap next summer, but then again, you can go over the cap by the 10%, and it'll really would all depend on the. Whether the cap goes up or down with the escrow and all that other good stuff. I looked at it. I think they were like $17 million under the cap, but that's not with Dubinsky, Anisimov, Callahan, Frolov. Who else is on there? Obviously, Emminger comes off the books. Gilroy is another guy they're going to have to decide what they're going to do with him. Because his contract's up after this season. Prospel is another guy. We don't know what his story is.
I don't know if you saw Larry Brooks. It might have been in the same story yesterday or the one before. He's already talking about next year's cap and how the Rangers are going to have this problem and that problem. I'm like, you know what? I'm like, we just solved this year's cap. Can you give me a minute to let that sink in before I got to start worrying? Just give Ranger fans a minute, will you? We're worried about next year in June after we win the cup, right?
I just think there's some things to write about because I think the Rangers in general are like, it's like the Iron Curtain. Like, you can't penetrate them. It's like there's no more rumors come out of this organization anymore. I mean, you used to hear about trades. We talked about this over the summer also. You used to hear about trades breaking news a week before it happened. You hear nothing anymore. Nothing. It doesn't come out to maybe a few hours before the news breaks. But you used to hear about trades that they were talking about, things that were going back and forth. I just think he gets bored. I don't think he knows what to write about because the Rangers have become very boring to write about.
Hey, you make a good point.
I mean, it's sad. I mean, the Ranger fan is so passionate and so loyal, but the Rangers do everything they can to take that away from the fan and curve the media towards, you know, this sun and rainbows atmosphere that they want to show us. And we know that's not the case. But, you know, they think that everything's rosy in Rangerland. And I don't mean Michael Roosevelt.
1994 was last year.
Tortorella
had a fine suit. The Rangers would have not been where they were last year if it wasn't for John Tortorella last season. I mean, this is how they think. I think they got them all brainwashed, Rock. I think they believe their own lies. But, Dan, listen, let's get... So, you know what? The Rangers Smurf brought up a good point that I didn't even think about, is that with Frolov playing, that will take away from Callahan's power play time, which, you know... But I just think these guys, even strength, one of them is going to do very well, and the other one I believe is going to be a little bit of a disappointment. But they, like you said, a lot of these guys are playing for contracts, and maybe that will be a motivator. But bottom line, I don't care what the lines are, they've got to be better at home. They've got to win these games at the Garden.
Right.
And it can't be snorefests. I said it. I'm finally said it's the Rock and Eve. I'm just going to say it one more time. Stop with the boring hockey. Play with some sense of urgency. The hate to lose mentality. I mean, we hate to lose. I hate to lose at Pogo. I hate to lose at any game. How are you? Even if it's a how are you game, I don't like to lose on. And the thing is, what?
No, go ahead.
I was just going to say, We fans, and this goes to the passion level of the Ranger fans, we are crazy for this team. We put more effort into watching these games than they do playing them. I'm sitting there, I'm tweeting, Jim is doing his game thread, Rock is over there hosting, you know, his friends over there, and everybody's having a good time at Rock's house, smoking the ganja, doing whatever he does over there, and that bachelor pad of his, and they come out flat, and by the second period, it's 1-0. The Rangers are losing 1-0. The insurmountable lead, as my friend Dick called it. The Rangers down 1-0.
And then you got to watch Gia Monotone interview Mike Sullivan, and Mike Sullivan says, "Well, we just need more effort in the second period, and we need to find our game, and we need people to work harder." Thanks, okay. The always charming Mike Sullivan.
Well, if goals are any indicative of what the preseason was, it's going to be very run and gun. I don't remember last year's preseason them being games like 4-4 or 3-3 going into the third period. I mean, they gave up 4 goals again, so they get every game except for that 5-1 game in at the Garden versus Detroit. So, I mean, I just hope the goaltending is better. I just hope this is just indicative of with the way the rosters were and everything else. Because Biron, to me, in the preseason, he made the saves he had to, but I didn't see him make that really big save. So I'm not writing him off yet, but that was one thing that concerned me with him. That he made the save that he had to make, but he didn't make that big save, when he needed to make it. So that's my only concern as far as the goals are coming. So,
all right, Rock, before we let you go, give us a couple of quick predictions for the season.
I think as far as the entire league or just the Rangers?
Just the Rangers.
I think they're going to be fighting for playoff spot. I think they're I'm looking at them at either – I'm probably looking at seventh. I
seventh?
Think they'll be good enough to make seventh, yeah. If they get a center, maybe better. But at this point, I'm saying seventh. I'm gonna lowball it because every time I think they're gonna win the cup every year, so we'll be a little bit pessimistic and hope for the best. But I'm thinking seventh in the East.
Okay, I'll buy that for a dollar. All right, Rock. We'll talk
right.
to you next week, buddy.
Be good.
All right, take it
yeah,
easy.
Yeah, hopefully with 2-0, whatever we're going to be.
All right. Next up, Eva.
Hey!
Hey!
How are you?
Hey!
Eva!
What's going on?
Good. Congratulations, Uncle Jim.
Oh, thank you.
How are you?
I'm well.
How
are you?
Stop that, Eddie.
Who's high pitch?
I know, right? What's going on?
Nothing. What's on your mind?
We're all psyched for Monday's game.
Yeah, well, what about tomorrow's game? What's going on in the household? Who's expecting?
Crazy in here.
Who's expecting more from the team, you or Claude?
I am, I think. Then I just get everybody all just, you know, riled up, I guess.
I mean, are you, what do you think? What are you thinking? Give us your predictions.
Well,
you know?
the Rangers for the whole season? We're just like
yeah, let's
game
go,
at
yeah,
a...
let's go game by game. All right, so, no, just kidding. Are they going to
make
we want to know, are they going to make the playoffs? What's your prediction?
Yes, they are going to make the playoffs.
All right.
Yes,
where are they going to finish?
They're going to be in sixth place. I like that number.
All right.
You play lotto now? You just picking numbers here now?
No.
Supplementary is six? I mean...
You can't possibly... And how could you possibly like the number six after watching it the last 2 years?
I don't know. It's a different year. Different team.
It's a brand new day, Ranger fans. All right. So you got up six. What else is going on? You're excited for Monday?
Yes,
you got 20,
I am.
20
yes,
people going to the game.
Party. Yeah.
20 people. That's going to be the biggest attendance they'll have all year.
Exactly.
20. Your group of 20, and then 8 Islander fans, and Hofstra University.
We better just not get our asses kicked. I swear, and I'm not getting arrested for this. It's the day before my birthday. I am not getting arrested. But we're just going to have a nice time.
I'm wondering if it's just going to be like, you know, us acting like complete whack jobs, right?
Oh yeah, we do that all the time.
Well, I know. But then it's going to be like all these Islander kiddies there, you know,
I know.
Columbus Day.
Yeah, exactly. I'm picking up the fish sticks tomorrow, so we're going to be whacking the hockey sticks on them.
But what about cupcakes?
I don't know. I feel bad for them. I do. It was a choice between that or tasty cakes.
Well, that's for the Flyers. So we got your prediction. You're all psyched up for Monday. Before we let you go, here it is, as per your request.
Thank you.
You are my honey bun, sugar plum, pumpy and bumpkin. You're my sweetie pie. You're my cupcake gumdrop, snickums, buckums. You're the apple of my eye. And I love you so, and I want you to know that I'll always be right here. And I love to sing two songs to you, because you are so dear.
All right, Eva, have fun.
Thanks.
We'll talk to you later. Good night.
Have a good trip to Houston. All right.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye.
Let me tell you something. Now, let me tell you something else. Uniondale University, or whatever the hell the name of that college is, it's going to be. But don't go stealing that song from this program either. When the Islanders take it, don't go stealing it. Because you know what, we put a lot of money into this show and getting that song done and writing it. Don't go stealing it. Get your own material out there at Hempstead Community College or whatever the hell you're called, Ronkonkoma High School.
You know, I wonder if Larry Brooks will steal that.
Yeah.
He stole the kind of gentle Tortorella from us.
He could put it on his iPad. On his iPod.
How are you, Larry? How are you?
Yeah. That'll be Steve Zippe will put that. That'll be the title of his article. How are you?
How are you, Zippe? How are you?
All right. You want to take more phone calls? They're already asking for the roll call. What do you want to do?
Take another call. Screw the roll call. We do that every week.
All right. I'm just asking. Don't yell at me. All right. Let's go to, I believe, making his first appearance. I don't know. Adam from Chicago.
Hey.
Are you there?
Hey, how's it doing?
Oh, you're breaking up really bad. Let's see if, I don't know, if you're on your cell phone.
I don't know. Yeah, I'm right here.
There you go. Okay. How are you?
Yeah. How are you?
How are you?
How are you?
It was unbelievable. I turned the show on about a half hour in, and the very first thing I hear right after Bulk Folk Radio is, how are you? And I'm thinking, what did I miss?
How are you? Who's my pitch?
Yeah, this is actually the second appearance. My first, I think, was after that shootout loss when I called the basically event. So.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Yeah, that's right. Okay. So what's going on? How are you tonight? You ready for the season? How are you? You ready for the season?
How are you?
Well, after the thrill of the baseball season, it can't come soon enough.
Oh, yeah, I hear you.
But anyway, okay, so two things I wanted to talk about. I'm going to a wedding tomorrow, and the girl who's getting married is a pretty good friend of mine, and she's a really good cook, and she knows I'm a foodie and all that kind of stuff. So I'm hanging out in her fiancé's apartment, and they're keeping some of the food there for the wedding. And they say, hey, Adam, you're really going to like the desserts. And I'm thinking, oh, okay, it's right in the refrigerator. I go into the refrigerator. No joke, 5 boxes of homemade cupcakes. The only dessert is cupcakes.
Nice.
I saw this. I burst out laughing. There are 8 other guys in the apartment. They're like, what are you laughing about? And, of course, they're in Chicago, so I was about to start singing the song, but I don't know. Whatever dignity I still have.
All right. Now I got to ask because, you know, I have a warped mind. You're going to this wedding and you're good friends with the bride?
I'm better friends with the groom, to tell you the truth.
Oh, okay. All right. So there's no history. Yeah. There's no history there with you and the bride. It's not going to be
uncomfortable. No. Oh. Before I met her, she knew this guy, so that's okay.
Oh. All right. I was just wondering.
And the other thing I got to say is,
how many cupcakes did you eat?
You know, I mean, I'm not a big chocolate guy, but they're saving them up. But I did get one. It was like this vanilla one, but they mixed in chocolate pudding. I'm not a big chocolate eater, but they even put in a little bit of cookie dough ice cream or some kind of raw cookie dough right in the middle of it.
Oh, and my.
Like, these are big-time cupcakes.
Oh, my God. You said there were five boxes?
Five boxes and I think a different kind of cupcake in each one.
There would have been three boxes left by the time my fat ass was out of that refrigerator.
Yeah, I may have to take a few photos. You know, people are like, why are you taking photos of the cupcakes?
I'll take photos. Take cupcakes.
I don't know, but I got to share the experience with everybody, you know?
And as you eat them, Adam eats another one for Tasty Cakes.
Oh, yeah.
Let's talk about hockey.
Okay. We could do that, too. Because
Eddie doesn't like talking about food much.
Oh, yeah.
We always wanted to talk more about food. No, but here's the one thing that I don't think anybody ever brought up on the show. Larry Brooks' column from last week where he's basically whining about how the Rangers have, you know, all these right-handed defensemen and only two left-handed defensemen. I mean, what's the deal with that? Would he rather have Redenbach on the team just to balance out the lefties and righties? I mean, I just care that they could actually play defense because I have enough concerns about that.
Yeah, I agree. We can't be like, you know, we can't have a perfect world right now. We're lucky, you know, we got Wade Redden off the team. Already that's an addition to we're going to wind up on which way guys shoot and stuff like that. And plus, I mean, if you think about it, unless Gilroy surprises, who's really going to score from that defense anyway? I mean, it's going to be Delzato and with Rosie, you know. Although Stoll had a decent year, I still think a little more to him. But, I'm not worried about the shots from the defenseman. I'm worried about the defenseman clearing the net. And no Wade Redden patrolling our blue line.
I don't care if they're left-handed or right-handed. I think half the women in this chat room could put the hockey stick between their boobs and play better defense than Redden did.
Oh, you have a great way of putting things.
I do.
Yeah, Eddie, I have one more question for you. Something that you said about on Wednesday. One of the things that you complained about, and rightly so, was that this team did not get a top-line center. Well, who is the center that we could realistically get? I mean, Plekanec and Marlowe, who both would have been pretty good, you know, they both signed immediately. I don't know if there was really room for Staver to make.
Yeah, you're right there. But doesn't it seem to me, I mean, you're right. Both of those guys, I mean, they signed like day one. But why aren't the Rangers seem to wait a little bit. Is it me? I seem to think that they maybe
they didn't wait to sign a backup goalie.
Yeah, that's true. Well, you know, but mine
but
of, you know, the Cadillacs or the Honda Price, that they're always on. But when it's to pull the trigger on a big deal, I don't know. Maybe it's not true. I mean, I can't remember when they pulled the Gomez deal. That was pretty early, so maybe I'm wrong in that. I don't know who they could have gotten, but I can tell you this much. There's got to be guys better than Erik Christensen out there. I mean, I really thought Todd White was going to win a job with this team. I thought they played him like he was going to win. I don't think he necessarily should have won one, but it really looked like they gave him a good look, and he wound up, you know, being waived. So you're right. You know, it's always, you know, it's Monday morning quarterbacking, but you just get frustrated with the fact that Erik Christensen, and I said it on Wednesday's show, you had about a month and a half ago, Tortorella's saying how we need Erik to, you know, not play two games and take five off, and then, you know, and it's a confidence problem with this kid. It's something that you either going to have, or you're going to get and develop and get rid of it, or it's going to be with you all the time. And I think he's at this age that if it's still a problem, it's not going away, especially if you're playing with the Rangers and you don't have the line mates. Now, he's got the line mates. He's got no excuses coming out of the gate. So you're right. I think, you know, maybe there wasn't
a bevy of center icemen out there, but there surely was some defensemen they could have gotten. We saw, but again, they went early too, and it looked like if you were really on point and ready to pull the trigger. Now again, the Rangers didn't have a lot of cap room to work with in the first place, so that was a hindrance too. So and that's something they got themselves into. So you're right, though. I think that's a good point.
Yeah, that crease-clearing defenseman, that was the top thing that I really wanted, and Steve Emminger just doesn't quite do it for me. I don't know about everybody else, but we'll see.
Yeah, I think he will become a Ranger. You know how the Ranger fan always picks on
we need
Ranger
one
defenseman?
I think we feed on
he's
a
next.
Boy.
He's next. No, we're New York fans. It's not just the Rangers.
Actually, I think I'd be happy if we only had one whipping boy the whole season. I think that'd be a step in the right direction.
And while we're talking about the defense, this is, again, like Rock brought up about Gilroy. I mean, this is his year to either, blank or get off the pot. We've got to see him do something. I'm worried. I said this Wednesday. I'm worried about this dude.
I
don't see any progress.
Jim, I know you like Gilroy, but I don't know. I still have nightmares of Buffon skating right around him in overtime for that breakaway goal on Henrik in the UC. That was not one of my happier nights watching hockey.
No, you're not bitter about it or anything. I still think he might be best served at center, as a winger, but what do I know? I still think he's got a lot of talent, and I hope he has a decent season so that they don't lose him, because that he'll go somewhere else and come back to haunt the Rangers. I just want to mention this. I think you guys were talking about it in the chat room, but we didn't mention it on the air. The goaltender for the Atlanta Thrashers, Andre Pavelich. Collapsed on the ice for no apparent reason during their game tonight with the Washington Capitals, and he had to be taken off the ice on a stretcher. So nobody really knows what's going on. I'll post the link if you guys want to see the video. There it is. So hopefully, I know you guys were talking about it earlier, but we did want to mention it. I just saw it come up on the breaking news here. So Adam, before we let you go, give us a couple of quick predictions for the season.
Okay. What I really want more than anything, I'm going to go aside from a prediction, I just want to get a good feeling at the end of the year, even if they miss the playoffs, which, nobody would be happy with, but I just got to get a good feeling that there's a solid nucleus here that we can really get behind and get excited about, because I don't think anybody's really under the delusion this team is going to win the Cup. But I'd like to see the core with these kids really start to come together. But when you have one of the best goalies in the game, you'll usually be in most games, and, I'm not expecting much more than the last couple of years. Maybe sneak in the playoffs, maybe steal around, and hopefully we're matched up with the Devils, because then I'll definitely bet on the Rangers winning that series. But no, I can't imagine them getting past the second round at this point.
Yeah, that's about where I am. I've kept my predictions, my prognostications to myself till now, but I'm right about you're on again. You're on the eight. Wait. What?
I was going to say we'll save ours for the end.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
And
then
I really
not
hope Callahan could get. I'm sorry.
No, I was just going to say that just erase everything I said in the last 30 seconds.
Delete it from the record. All right, Adam, well, thank you for calling in. I hope you'll do it more often.
Adam, it was nice to hear from you, man.
All right, I'll leave a cupcake for everybody at the wedding on tomorrow, okay?
Sweet.
Have two
All right. Talk to you later.
All right, good night, guys.
Bye.
Take care.
Bye.
Right. The great Adam from Chicago. All right, let's take another call, fast and furious. 631-974, you are on Blue Shirt Banner Radio. Who's this?
That's the crazy one.
How are you?
How you doing?
What's going on, Costa?
Not bad. First thing.
You will
I don't care what anybody says.
Okay.
I don't care what anybody says. If it was me, I want Stepan on the first line. I don't care. That's just me.
Yeah. Well, I wouldn't have a problem with that.
I would have a problem
because,
with you. You may
run
up there.
I think, give
it till game four.
Yeah, you're probably right. Probably right.
How do you feel about Wayne Redd not being on the team?
Shut up! Don't you know he is? Eat your filet mignon. Just shut your mouth. Shut your mouth, stupid.
I love his take on Redd.
Just don't ask him what he thinks about baseball. Slowly I turned.
let me ask you a very serious question. What do you think about getting rid of the salary cap and imposing like no guaranteed contracts like they do in the NFL?
I don't know. I don't think it'll happen.
If it was up to you, would you want that? Would you want something like that if it was up to you?
No, I don't think I would.
Really?
Well,
I'd have to think about it more.
All right.
What do you feel about?
I think they should have it personally. Like, if you're gonna like sign someone 5 years, $25 million, have like make like $10 million guaranteed, and if they stink up the joint, cut them, then that's it.
I don't know. I don't think that's gonna work in the NHL. The NHL has got so many problems. I mean, it's really got a lot of rot in it financially. And I still claim that we don't even know, one 77th of how much rot there is. They talk about Phoenix having problems. How can the Islanders be on some sound financial ground? How can the Columbus Blue Jackets be on sound financial ground? How can the Atlanta Thrashers be on sound financial ground? I mean, this Gary Bettman has absolutely destroyed the game every which way, but,
this friggin' this schmuck commissioner, this clueless fuck.
I never gave that much thought. I'm just looking forward to the season. I don't care about the finances, Costa. I don't care about that.
Did you guys listen to Paulie D's show about a couple days ago?
Who listens to that show? I don't.
What about?
They're trying to get rid of the intimidation factor in the game, and as I like to call it, they're trying to turn the NHL into Euro hockey.
It's already become that. It's a joke. I don't even want to get into it. It makes me nauseous when I think of some of the penalties that get called. But so I want to know from the great coast to the crazy Greek, what's your predictions? What's your prognostications? Where are the Rangers going to finish? Who's going to be good? Who's going to be bad? Who's going to stick up the joint? Give it to us.
They're going to be an enigma this year.
This year?
The enigma. So are they going to be good and then bad and then good and then bad?
Edward Nygma.
They could be anywhere from 5th to 12th.
that's what I like about you. Good, solid prognosticating right there.
Oh, and Margaret Hurley comes on the scene to say the Devils just lost. The battle.
The Devils.
See that? They're in last place.
They're in last place.
All I know is this. When Rodour retires, they're screwed. When Rodour retires, they are screwed. They are in big, big trouble. And I don't know.
What
What
do you think about Marty Brodeur?
great goaltender, but because he's old, he runs out of gas when it counts, which is the playoffs. The Moose got to play like 20 games.
And what do you think about Newark, New Jersey?
Around the clock, it's basically the militarized zone. Cops are everywhere. You've been there. You know how it is.
I know. Looks like you can't. Uh-oh. Looks like the car alarm has gone off outside the Costa residence.
It's not my house.
Either that, or he is down in downtown Newark, stealing a car.
All right, Costa.
We'll thank
you for calling,
buddy.
See you Monday. See you Monday, man. Take care,
brother.
All right, talk to you later.
God,
he's a trip.
Costa was doing the car stealing. Oh, man.
He's a trip. All right, let's get another call on the line here. 631-772, you're on Blue Shirt Beta Radio. Who's this? 631-772, you're on the air. Going once, going twice.
Hello?
Gone.
Hello?
DB Maven, how are you?
How are you?
Hi. What's going on?
The first prediction is that Gaborik will play 37
games.
He's
getting right to it.
I love it.
Gaborik will play 37 games. Only 37 because he's going to be cross-checked, caught between Bugard and Shelley, and he'll suffer a shoulder injury.
That's pretty funny.
And actually,
the shoulder injury won't be that serious. It's when he gets dropped off the stretcher as they're putting him into the ambulance. That's when he'll really get hurt.
Who was his groin?
Who was that happened to during a Ranger game? Was that? Oh man, somebody had the video of it just recently on Blue Shirt Banner too. They were. For some reason, I think it was Joe Thornton, but I don't know if that's right. But somebody got hurt during a Ranger game on the opposing team, and MSG cameras were showing them put the guy on the ambulance, and they dropped the stretcher.
Oh, Mike Modano. That was Mike Modano.
Oh, that's right. Mike Modano. Okay, yeah. And Sam was like, oh, my God. That's right.
Sam was like, I can't believe what I just saw.
Yeah.
They dropped him. That's when Messier laid him out with a nice world-class elbow.
That's right. Yeah, it was Modano. Okay. Anyway. All right, so besides your Gaborik prediction, what else you got? Henrik's going to win 10 games? Slump of his life?
He's also going to suffer a concussion at the hands of Bukovic.
Now, well, it won't be really Bugard's fault. He'll just cross-check Carcillo into Hank.
it'll happen during a team dinner. Bugard will reach for the salt, accidentally hit Hank in the head, and give him a concussion.
Oh, Lord, I hope none of this comes true, that's for sure.
It'll happen at Nassau Coliseum. He'll be reaching for a cupcake, and he'll hit Henrik in the head, and, you know.
I can see this team, seriously, I can see this team going, as a couple of folks have said, in any of several directions. It's impossible to predict, but if they manage to stay healthy, they have the potential to, I think Eva's got the right number because nobody's wearing that number on their sweater this year, fortunately. Number six, it could be.
Okay.
Wow.
It's possible. I mean, you know, people either love or hate Christensen, and if he manages to get his head in the right place, and that's a stretch, I'll admit it, he has an incredible amount of potential, and, of course, you know what they say about potential, but if he can get his head in the right place, he can do wonders between Frolov and Gaborik. the second line, again, if those guys click, and putting, I think it's a good move putting Dubinsky and Callahan with Anisimov, because they probably will energize him. And if he's getting more minutes and he gets some power play time, this could be his kind of breakout season, or at least the first of several, you know, as he's showing growth. I, like you said before, I love the third line. They played so well in the preseason. If they can keep that going, you really have two second lines, potentially. You know, and if Tortorella will actually roll three lines because he's got the talent to do it, that's actually a lot. You know, they can actually do some damage. I'm not as worried about the defense because I think if Emminger stinks it up, and I'm not sure that he will. It's possible, but I'm not positive yet. You've got a couple of guys that are basically NHL ready, sitting down there waiting to come up. McDonough's probably first. But if they need a cruncher, they'll bring up the tank. Either way, I'm not as worried about the defense as some people might be. I think they've got a fair amount of talent there, and Delzato is actually going to focus on defense and not be minus 7,000. You know, there's some possibilities.
You know, I always respect your opinion, and the fact that you weighed in with a nice prediction for the Rangers. It gives me a little bit more hope than I had. You know, so I mean, that does carry some weight with me, so to speak. I'm carrying a lot of weight as it is, but carry some.
I saw that one coming.
Yeah, now, that was assaultful. But still, seriously, folks, as a comedian. I wanted to say that, yeah, that sounds about right. I don't know. I don't know. I'm still on the fence about the defense. I, you know, Roosevelt, he's been hurt predominantly the whole preseason. You know, he's a slow starter. They're going to put him with Delzato, Mr. Minus 19. I could see, I mean, to start at least.
I don't know that maybe that's true.
Okay.
I don't know that that's true. I could actually see it going back to being Delzato and Girardi, with Stahl, and possibly you could see. I'm not sure I would mind seeing Stahl and Gilroy at times.
Ugh. I'm really down on Gilroy now.
I actually wouldn't mind seeing that either. I said that last year. I said that I thought that would be a good pairing because then they could both focus on doing what they do best.
But can you imagine Matt Gilroy being lined up against the other team's first line?
Well, again, it depends. I agree with you there. I mean, it's certainly there's no question that in the Washington games, probably in the Pittsburgh games, you're going to see Stahl Girardi. Because that's what he did last year, and that's what he's going to do this year. He's going to use them as the shutdown pair in matchups against certain teams. But when you're playing, Columbus or some of these other teams, I would not mind seeing Stahl and Gilroy.
Okay.
And the reason I say that is I would rather see that pair with Delzato and Roosevelt and then spreads things out a whole lot more evenly.
That's DB Maven's call waiting. That's Tortorella on the other line.
Yeah, I mean, obviously you know something about these lines. Now, is your reasoning for that combo, you and Jim's reasoning for that combo, because you want to put your offensive guy with your top defensive guy, or the fact that a lot of times you want to take your best guy and put the guy that may not have it so much defensively yet, or hasn't gotten it yet?
I look at spreading the wealth is what I'd like to call it, right? That you've got certainly in the case of Delzato Roosevelt, you're talking about offense and defense, okay? In the case of, like, Stoll Gilroy and Emminger Girardi, you're pairing up kind of a weak and a strong, so you're evening it out, okay? And I think Gilroy can learn from that. Now, whether that you want to call that a first pair, I think in those situations where you roll those six, like I just said, you don't really have a first pair. You're just rolling, you know, three pairs of defensemen. Again, it's a matchup scenario. It depends on who you're playing. If I'm playing Washington, there's no question in my mind, it's Stoll Girardi, period, end of story. You know, as these guys come along, eventually you're going to see that Stoll Girardi will become more of a regular pair as these younger guys mature, and probably when Roosevelt goes away.
Yay! Oh, I'm sorry.
I set resist. You up, Jim. I
Thank
set you.
You
up, and you did it. You hit it out of the park.
I dream of that day. All right, DB. Well, thank you, sir.
I dreamed of the day that we already had, and that's the Hartford Whale with a big number six on it.
Yes, sir.
The Connecticut Whale. Wade Mary Lou Redden. Free at last.
So you know what you guys need to do? You need to do a very special show, and you need to officially retire the announcement recording, right, of the signing, okay? And you need, so it's a Wade Redden memorial show.
That's a good one.
Yeah, it'll take all of 6 minutes. About as long as it takes to play the opening theme song, play the two clips, and point the middle finger at the sky and say goodnight, everybody.
I don't think any of us have a problem with that, Jim.
Yeah. I don't think so either.
Be the quickest memorial of all time.
Oh, God.
All right, take another call.
All right, DB.
Take care, my friend.
Talk to you
See
later.
You guys.
Bye. I was actually going to say, if we had time, I'd play that one. I was thinking about that today. We should play that one last time and just put it to bed forever.
Why not? Some people would want to actually hear it.
All right. In that case, for the last time ever on this show, unless we have like a best of.
When he gets called back up.
When he gets called back up. mid-season. After he finds his game in Connecticut. Here it is.
This is Kevin Greenstein from the New York Sun. Glenn, just wanted to get your sense on Wade Redden, what he's going to add to the Rangers' blue line core, and what you're thinking moving forward with regard to the defense.
Well, he's an experienced defenseman. He's been an all-star twice in the league. He's, in our opinion, the best first passer in the game today. He moves the puck up exceptionally. He's somebody that we had targeted immediately. He was our number one guy in defense, you know, as well as Roosevelt. We wanted to get them both signed, and we did. And we're quite happy that we've got them. And we think that it's going to help move the puck to the forwards as well as anybody in the league today.
I'm trying to think, but nothing happens.
You know, I'm sitting here listening to it, and I kind of got the same feeling I got watching Wayne Gretzky's last game. When he was just watching him skate around, really thinking to myself, does this have to be it? Does he have to go away? I don't think I can retire that clip. We might have to save it for special occasions, like the fine china. It's just, it never gets old. It
we
never
targeted
gets old.
Him immediately.
Yeah, he's our number one guy on defense. Who's gonna...
One of the best first passes in the league. Well, anyway, those days are over. We're moving on to greener pastures. We're getting it all straightened out one by one. These albatrosses are being removed from our neck. One is Michael Roosevelt, and the next will be Chris Drury, and or and we're going to, it's coming. Better days are coming. And with Derek Stepan in the fold now, Chris Kreider, who I think is going to be just as good as Stepan, if not better. We got a lot to look forward. It's just the fact that the organization has to get better. I think one of the faults, the Hartford, Connecticut, whatever they're calling them this week, they have to get their act together as far as becoming one with the. I know it's too much to ask for the team as you know, who's you know the prominent team, the NHL team to get their house in order. It's a lot to ask to get the AHL team in order, but you know, listen. Ken Janander's situation down there, I just feel he's not the coach to teach these kids. But hey, listen, do I really watch that much Hartford Wolfpack or Connecticut Whale Hockey to confirm that? No, but it's just I look through the development of the players and prospects throughout the last years. And really, is Ken Janander really a mastermind? I mean, he basically was a de facto a coach. And I think the coach before that was Nick Fetiu. I think Janander was a ready guy. And I know that Nicky definitely has a lot of bad feelings towards that. That he was let go as the Hartford coach after they had a really good year. He may have been in Binghamton. They may have been in Binghamton at that point.
I'm not sure about that.
And Nicky was getting fired.
I love the fact you've got to be one of the only people I've ever known that calls for the head of a coach of the minor league team. That's awesome. I mean, that is just...
You're not going to hear that anywhere else, folks.
You're not going to hear that anywhere else. You're not going to hear it on Mike Francesa, that's for sure. He ain't talking about the Connecticut Whale, folks.
I know that Jim Cerny will probably have an article about how Ken Janander is ahead of schedule.
It'll be on his laptop. Evgeny
Grotka is ahead of schedule. Evgeny is so ahead of schedule, he's in the minor league.
All right, I'm going to bring Mandar in just a second to get his predictions for the upcoming season. Real quick. I got an email from Chris, our buddy over in the UK. He sent me his predictions. He sent me 11 of them. I'm not going to read them all, but there was a couple of them that I liked. He's got, I liked them all, but I'm not going to read them all because we're running out of time. But he's got Derek Stepan 20 plus goals, between 20 and 25 goals this year. Mark Stahl's going to
rookie of the year numbers.
All right, Frolov is going to get off to a great start and is going to outscore Gabrick over the first 20 games. Interesting one.
Yeah, I can see that, maybe.
Torts will be back to his normal ways within 5 games.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Mark Stahl will get an A.
Okay.
And I like this one. Blue Shirt Banner Radio voted best internet radio show in the world. Host Jim and Eddie to receive awards and become Z-list celebrities. I think we're already Z-list,
right.
Aren't we?
We're already Z-list.
Aren't we already Z-list? We're trying to work our way up to
Y-list.
We're up to V-list. That's where we want to be. All right. Let's bring in the great Mandar for his predictions, and then Eddie and I will do ours, and we'll be done, and then we'll see you guys Wednesday night. Mandar, good evening. How are you, sir?
Well, it's so great to talk to you on the Rockin' Eve show.
See? He's the only man to remember that this was the Rockin' Eve show.
That's right.
This is the Rockin' Eve show.
Yeah.
Predictions, it's interesting. And up until what you just read that email, I don't think anybody had brought up what I think is going to be a really big key to this season, and that is Mr. Frolov. 1-year deal, $3 million, has something to prove, had an excellent preseason. I didn't even know this guy was a penalty killer. He's a back checker. This guy has a lot of tools. Now, he fell out of favor last year for whatever reason, I don't know. But from what I saw of him in preseason and the little things, not just the offense, but the little things about the back checking, the playing on the PK, this guy is the real deal. that's going to be one of the keys to the Rangers season. You know what you're going to get out of Gabby, and we're all praying that he stays healthy. We don't know what we're getting out of that second line. The names sound the same, wonderful, and I think everybody's all, you know, got a Woody because they're all homegrown Rangers, as if that is like the be-all, end-all. And then our third line could be an energy line, but again, lines are arbitrary with the genius coach, so we don't even know where that's going. I just think
the guys
that are in their second year have some stuff to prove. I think the guys that got the big contracts have something to prove, and I hope they have the gumption to do it. But I really think Stepan belongs in the first line. I don't think you get anywhere with putting that kind of a dynamic talent on the third line. It's a mistake. Christensen or Stepan. I don't think they have any first line centers, but you get nothing putting Stepan in the third line. This guy is a dynamic player. He has the offensive chops to be there. And I'm sure he'll be there by, the 10-minute mark of the first period. But it's ridiculous to have Stepan on the third line, even with Avery there. And Fedotenko, I think, is another, sleeper. What are we going to get out of him? There's so many unknowns. But I'll tell you what.
Plus,
I watched that Flyer-Penguin game last night. Flyers look pretty good, except for they have that Russian goalie that nobody's heard of, and I guess he's the next coming of Tretiak. But the Penguins didn't impress me at all.
Or the next coming of Dominic Roussel.
Exactly. That's the name I was thinking of, too. But watching the Penguins play, your first game in your brand-new home, all the glitz and glamour, and they played like that? Sorry. Chris Kunitz isn't the answer, no matter how much you want to put him on your first line. We're worried about a first line center. You got Crosby, and you're putting him with Kunitz and maybe Malkin and maybe, Dan Geic, for those of us who know Dan Geic. So.
Geic was a goaltender, we all know.
Yeah, well. But that's what I'm talking about. The Flyers look pretty good, but they're going nowhere with their goaltending situation, which is why I've said it from the beginning of the training camp, and I still believe that there is no one bona fide number one team in this conference. And the A-line was impressive tonight, wasn't it, for Jersey? Oh, we have the A-line. Maybe that's every other team's number one line in 2003. That kind of, that kind of garbage.
Yeah, man, no, hey, what is that second line for the Devils that you're all over?
The A-line. Oh, you mean you don't know the great A-line?
Arnott and
Eliash. I forget the third member of the line. I'm sure somebody will go ahead and somebody will say it in the chat room. Arnott, Eliash, and whatever. Pandolfo, I don't know. Maybe Jim Dowd. Who knows? They're going to bring anybody back from those days and call it the best second line in hockey. A question for you guys. Who was the guy, which one of them was it on the show the other night that, when you asked for predictions, gave their team and didn't bother to mention anybody else? Was
Pittsburgh.
It the Penguin guy or the Flyer guy?
It was the Pittsburgh guy. He was already pissed at Eddie at that point, so he wasn't
right,
going to say
right. I remember that. That stays in the memory banks, guys. When there's nobody else. Yeah. Sid Crosby was real effective last night. But he did pull another phantom penalty when they thought he got high stick, and stick never even came close to touching him. But couldn't even work. But Goligoski is the answer, and all this other garbage that they got there. Please, Paul Martin's no answer either.
Give us your prediction for the season.
For the season, I see the Rangers in third place in the division. I see the Rangers coming out with 97, 98 points.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I do. Because I get...
You and Sean Newman.
Give me a compelling reason why the other teams in our division are better.
It's not how much the teams are better, it's just where it works.
Wait, you have them third in the division or third in the conference?
No, third in the division. In the division. They can't be third in the conference. They won't come in first place.
With 98 points, finishing third?
Yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely. That is my prediction. Write it down. Write it down with my other mortal lock of the Islanders not getting at least 10 wins by mid-December. That would make you get your mortgage on, Jim.
10 wins by the end of
December?
They will
not get 10 wins by mid-December. I said the other day, I'm saying it again.
Okay.
I'll stick by it the whole year. And that includes the shootout wins and whatever wins.
I like
they have
that.
Nothing. Nothing. They had nothing with those idiots that before they had the shoulders injuries, and they have less than nothing now.
You don't think Freddie Meyer or
stop it. Stop it. Freddie Meyer's not even there anymore anyway. Bruno Gervais!
Come on.
Cut it out. Who's this guy Wisniewski? I remember him. He's the guy that they're touting now to run the power play. Run the power play.
How about
not
Josh
in practice,
Bailey?
In the actual games.
How about Josh Bailey?
How about Josh Bailey?
None of
all
these
right.
guys.
Hans Nielsen, I'm sorry. I forgot about him. Maybe they'll get 6 wins by mid-December.
All right, so the Rangers are finishing third in the division. Where does that put them in the conference in your prognostication?
Third in the division, I give them 5th in the conference.
5th in the conference, okay.
Yep.
Are they a first-round playoff team, second-round playoff team?
Second-round playoff team.
Okay. All right, there you have it. The great Mandar with his predictions.
Man, these guys totally changed. They got me thinking. It's never a good thing.
But you know what the problem is? If we get up to a good start, everybody's going to be fearing it and embracing it. Right? Because last year we had such a great start and the Kool-Aid was out and then they went to tank for a couple of months.
And
so
you were telling people the Rangers were a cup contender.
I was telling you Dubinsky was going to get 70 points. But then
how
again, somebody was saying Leeson with 20 goals.
All right, we got 3 minutes to go. We'll be back with you Wednesday night at 8 o'clock. Hopefully the Rangers will be 2-0 by then. So in case, I'm going to thank you all for listening now because we're going to go right to the predictions. And if we run into the podcast, then so be it. As always, we appreciate you guys being here. It's been a lot of fun. And Eddie, I'm going to let you go first, sir. Give us your predictions for the season.
All right. Well, I've looked at the teams in the division. I think Pittsburgh is certainly going to be atop the division, I really think. All you need is a Crosby, Malkin, Bruce Orpik, and a handful of other. And once they get Staal back, I just think they're going to win the division. The other three teams following that, I throw the Rangers in the mix. I can't get on board with the Rangers because I can't go as high as 90 points. And I really, the Devils should stink. On paper, they should stink. They should be a one-trick pony with a goaltender that is basically, one foot on the grave, another foot on a banana peel. But they always seem to stay in there. And the Flyers actually have, a pretty good team. Once they get Pronger back, I like Leno. I like Giroux. I think Gerardev, contrary to what a lot of people believe, I think he's going to get 20-odd goals for them. They got Mike Richards, a healthy Jeff Carter. I'll probably go with the Flyers for second if I had to pick it. Then go with the Rangers third, and the Devils fourth, and the Islanders again. You know, they may have 1980 Winnipeg Jet wins, you know, like 12 or 14 by the time it's all over. I just feel that the Rangers are going to – I can't get behind. How can I say this team is going to go from what they were last year to a 98-point team? I just can't do it. It just goes against all my all kinds of Ranger logic. So I'll make it quick. I think they're going to make the playoffs, but it's going to be a dogfight to the end. It's just going to be another. It's going to be a problem. So that's the way I look at it.
Okay.
And now yourself.
All right. Here's what I got. The Rangers are going to finish sixth in the conference this season. And then they're going to get obviously they're going to get the playoffs. They're going to shock the Devils in the first round in four games. They are going to sweep the Devils right out of the playoffs. I am sticking with my prediction from last April. It's just going to come true this April. Okay, you guys remember I told you on the show, I told you that if they got to the playoffs last year against the Devils, they were going to knock them out, knock them flat on their face in the first round. Okay, so they didn't do it. I didn't necessarily say it was going to be last season, so it's going to be this season. They are going to knock the Devils out in the first round in four games, and we're going to the podcast. Good night, everybody. And then they will give the Penguins a tough seven-game series before turning back into a pumpkin in the second round. And we will sit here in May and reflect back on a pretty successful season.
Oh, wow.
And one of my other predictions, Henrik Lundqvist will win the Vezina Trophy this year. Marty Biron will prove to be a capable enough backup for Henrik so that Henrik can stay fresh down the stretch, and he will win the Vezina this year.
Wow. So how many shutouts are you looking for him? 10, 12? What are you looking at?
He's going to have six shutouts.
I'm going to go Aaron on DB Maven. I think he's going to get seven. He didn't have many last year. I think he'll get more this year. Although I'm still suspect about that defense. I don't know. And I do like Frolov to real surprise. I guess a lot of Ranger fans are already kind of hyping him, but I like the fact that he's a lot bigger than I thought he was. He's like 6'3", and I think he'll be more valuable, you know, than last year we were going into a team. We were all happy about getting Kotelik to help on the power play and Higgins. I think he is going to he's definitely going to make an impact. I think he's one of these free agent signings. And I may regret this, you know, because last year they all basically were terrible.
Fizzled except for Gabrick, yeah.
Yeah. And he's going to be the one that pans out this year.
You know, the one other thing that we didn't touch on when we were on the air is that, you know, talking about Stepan being on the third line, what happens in a week when Chris Drury is supposed to be back? I mean, I can't see Drury being anywhere but that third line. So where does Stepan go? I mean, does he go to put him on the fourth line is an even bigger waste. And if he's on the second or first line, that means that either Anisimov or more than likely Christensen fell flat on his face. So, you know.
But I was going to say, unless Christensen by that time is in Chateau Bow Wow.
Yeah.
And that, you know, who knows? I don't mean any, no pun intended, but with Chateau, he may be on a short leash, so to speak.
I think he has to be. They got these bookends that are, you know, highly talented wingers. I don't think they can afford to let this guy meander along. You know,
right?
He's gonna have to be on a short leash. And you know, we're gonna make fun of it, but you know, he may have to make a very quick decision on Christensen. It may be a 5-game trial. You know.
And then again, you know, you can't really, as great as Stepan has looked, again, he's going from the college ranks to the NHL ranks. It's very rigorous. We know that. We don't know if he'll have the endurance or be able to keep up with the schedule, you know, to play every game. So you don't know. They may rotate him in and out. I don't know. You know, it's when the puck drops, Jimmy, tomorrow, and we finally see how everybody's playing and when it counts and it takes me a good, like, 2 weeks to 3 weeks, maybe a month, to get a good gauge on what a team is. So I still think the pessimist. Last year I was drinking that Kool-Aid, gulping it down. This year I'm going in more reserved. And I'm very shocked that a lot of the fans and a lot of the guys that have been, you know, with us from the beginning and the guys who come in the summer predicting such high, even yourself, I'm really surprised by the high expectations or the high predictions that the Rangers. So, and listen, it gives me hope. I hope they do it, you know, but, you know, it's not a question of rosters and who they met, players, who has the better teammates, a better team and player-wise. It's the heart and determination on the ice. And the Rangers really lack a veteran presence. And, you know, Chris Drury would be that guy, but he's not. And they lack that veteran leadership. I think that sometimes there's a difference between winning a one-goal game and losing a one-goal game. And I'm not sure John Tortorella is the right motivator for that as well. So I think there will be a an improvement, but there's going to be some growing pains with a lot of guys who are young and a team that, let's face it, well, they've had 11 new guys on this squad. You know, it takes a while to learn to play together. But don't be surprised if it happens like last year. They get off to a really good start, and then, you know, so we'll see. And I can't wait for it to start up.
I hear you.
This chat room has become X-rated.
Yeah, it's very it's very blue this evening.
Yeah.
Well, because the women are starting to take over in there.
Yeah, talking about shafts and all other stuff. Holy moly.
Yes.
Well, speaking about shafts, I must tend to mine.
All right. Eddie, I'll talk to you Monday, I guess, after I get home and watch these games and
kind of anticlimactic, Jim.
What?
Watch them after they've already been done though, right?
Well, yeah, I mean, well, Monday's game, I won't know what happened, at least, because I'll be on the plane, I'll get off the plane,
right,
come right home. So I'll actually watch Monday's game first. I'll know what happened. Hopefully I can find a place to watch.
Hopefully you want to watch that game while you're, game.
And the SB Nation, the NHL gave all the SB Nation managers free Game Center accounts. So if I can find a place tomorrow night with Wi-Fi, I can probably catch some of the games. So I might do that as well. We'll see what happens when I get there. So, all right,
ladies and gentlemen,
tend to your shaft.
Jim, I thank you, Band Off, for Blue Shirt Banners Rockety. Hi!
Go tend to your shaft, and as you would say, succeed where others have failed. Talk to you later, guys. Bye.